Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing with our series on matters of the heart. I'm just going to give a quick recap of what we talked about last week as we began our series. So last week we thought about what Jesus meant when he said, "Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." And you can find that in Luke 12, verse 33. And so we ask the question, what treasure is my heart longing for? The hidden treasure of the kingdom of heaven, or the fool's gold of earthly pleasures? And I also suggested a challenge for us. Can we see glimmers of the kingdom of heaven in our ordinary lives? Did you see a glimpse of God at work during this last week? So take a few moments and pause and consider. Try to retrospectively notice if God was acting in your week, if you didn't notice it at the time. Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we thank you that you are working so powerfully in the world around us. Help us to be more attentive to the movement of your Spirit. Help us to see where you are at work and to join in with the wonders that you are doing. Amen. So having looked last week at what our heart longs for, we continue with our exploration of matters of the heart as we think more about what it means to truly trust in God with all our heart. What does that look like practically in our daily lives? What stops us from trusting in God and giving him total control? So I'm going to read first from Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 8. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In Proverbs 3, we are told to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. But it's so easy for us to stop trusting in God. Things such as pride and anger and fear and so much more, they can all stop us from trusting in God and following his wisdom. So we're going to look at how pride, anger and fear can inhibit our ability to trust in God. And so therefore think about how we can strengthen our faith in him. So firstly, we have pride. Proverbs 3 verse 5 cautions us not to lean or to lean not on our own understanding. And then it continues that theme in verse 7 by instructing us, do not be wise in your own eyes. One of the biggest reasons that we stop trusting in God is because we think we can do it all on our own. Or that we know the answers, and so we don't need to ask God or rely on him for guidance and help. We take, frankly, undeserved pride in our own independence and ability to determine our own destiny. It is something that we are taught to achieve right from the early age. When I worked at a children's nursery, we were always encouraging the kids, you can do it on your own. And of course, this is an important theme for our development to enable us to grow. But this message is continually reinforced as we grow to such an extent that the idea of needing to rely on someone else becomes unacceptable. Eventually, we harden our hearts to the idea of anyone aiding us, even and sometimes especially God. We are told that we can achieve whatever we dream of. if only we try hard enough, work long enough. But the painful reality is that that is just not true. Our own understanding is flawed. Our wisdom is foolishness in God's eyes. To believe that we have all the answers and can solve any problem in our own strength is prideful. And Proverbs 16, verse 18, cautions us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Our pride stops us from trusting in the one who can always be trusted, always be relied upon. God, the creator, sustainer, and saviour of the universe. When we choose to lean on our own understanding, we set ourselves up for destruction and failure. More and more, we try to push forward human wisdom from having social media influences claiming solutions for this and that, various experts, or even just celebrities suggesting their solutions for things in the news. You can even see it if you step into a taxi and the cabbie regales you with his or her plan to put the world to right. We all often think we have ideas and plans that will make the world a better place. And don't get me wrong, there might be some really good ideas and some experts might have amazing research to prove their theories and so on. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we should stop listening to experts or anything like that. But it is all for nothing if we are not first focusing on God and trusting in His wisdom and guidance. When you look into the depths of your heart, who do you trust and why? Do you trust yourself, others, God? Are you willing to humble yourself enough to hear God and to follow Him? Being humble means that we recognise that God is all-powerful, that He is Lord over all and Lord of our lives. And on our own, we are weak and incapable. But in God, we are strong. Humility means that we recognise His plans for us are better than ours, and we can trust Him no matter what. Our wisdom and understanding is limited. It is God's wisdom that allows us to truly live life to the full. So pride blocks us from trusting in God. But so too can anger. In Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27, we are warned to keep control of our anger. And here are the verses in the Good News Translation. If you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. And do not stay angry all day. Don't give the devil a chance. Paul warns the Ephesians that our anger can lead us into sin. Our anger can lead us to make unwise choices, and then when the anger dissipates, we often find ourselves full of regret for what we did or said in those anger-filled moments. No matter where our anger is directed, whether it's at ourselves, at others, or even at God, we can find that anger leading us astray if we allow it to direct our words and actions. If we allow anger to direct our path, then we stop trusting God to be our guide. And this can become a particular issue if our anger is directed towards God. We might find ourselves angry at God because we feel He has wronged us somehow. Our life hasn't turned out the way we wanted or expected. Or there was a prayer that we may feel that God refused to answer. And so this anger might cause us to stop trusting in God and relying on Him. Notice though that Paul does not tell the Ephesians that you must never get angry. Rather, he states that when you get angry, and we all do not allow your anger to take charge. And I find the Message translation of these verses are helpful. It says this: go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. So here we are reminded that it is natural for us to feel angry, and even necessary. Anger itself is not wrong. Even being angry at God is not wrong. There are certainly many incidences throughout the Bible where godly men and women have raged and ranted at God over something they are angry about. Many of the Psalms are expressions of anger towards God. The problem arises when we allow our anger towards God to blind us about God's goodness, wisdom, protection, majesty, guidance, and so on. When we allow anger to stop us from trusting in God, then we fall into sin and begin to walk the wrong path, the dangerous path. So when you get angry, don't allow it to control you and stop you from trusting and following God. Don't let your anger deafen you to the whisper of God as he directs your path. But also let us not allow our anger to linger. Anger can be good. It can inspire us to action to correct injustices. But if it is allowed to consume our days, it can twist and turn into bitterness and revenge. And this leads us away from God. When the feelings of anger hit, take a moment to consider how you can control the anger for positive efforts, rather than allowing the devil to take control of the anger and turn you away from God. So there are many things that might prevent us from trusting in God with all our hearts. But the final thing that I will consider is another major element that affects our trust, fear. Fear can paralyze us and stop us from moving forward in our faith. It is one of the major weapons of Satan in making us ineffective as disciples and followers of Christ. Christ calls us to be disciples and to make disciples. This means that we are called to trust in him and follow the Spirit as he leads us to speak to others about him. But so often we hold back because of fear. And one of the main reasons for our fear is the fear of rejection, the fear of not being taken seriously, the fear of being laughed at or mocked, the fear of causing offence or insulting others. Or in other words, this all comes down to us having a larger fear of humans than we do of God. Our fear of others becomes greater than our desire to see them know Jesus, know salvation for now and always. Our fear of what others may think is bigger than our concern and compassion for their lostness. But fear of rejection, fear of people can be countered by trust in God, by remembering that he will not reject us or abandon us. We need to remember that God's wisdom is faultless and he will never lead us astray. And when we think of that in comparison with human wisdom, we can immediately recognize that God's wisdom is far greater and more reliable. Human wisdom leads us to making foolish choices, and what seems like a good idea at the time often goes wrong and ends up in difficult circumstances. So when we worry about what other people might think, let us turn our hearts to considering what we know God thinks of us and how much he loves us. So I'm going to read from Isaiah 41, verses 9 to 20. I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Though you wage war against those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear, For I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights, and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into spring. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia, the myrtle and the olive. I will set junipers in the wasteland, the fir and the cypress together, so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. In Isaiah, God reminds Israel that he has chosen them, and he is always present with them. They are never abandoned or rejected. And this is true for us too. God has chosen us and will not reject us. He is always with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Through the Holy Spirit living within us, we can be certain that God is available and willing to help and guide us in every moment, in every day. And so we can be assured that even if people reject us, God never will. Of course, trusting in God doesn't just help us with our fear of what people think about us. Knowing God is with us and trusting in him helps us to overcome all our fear. God says to us, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love the image of God upholding us with his righteous right hand. Often when children are afraid, they reach up to hold the hand of their parent, and it gives them a sense of protection and safety. God tells us to reach up to him, our loving Heavenly Father, and to hold his hand when we are afraid. When we are afraid, no matter what our fear is or how much it is scaring us, we can remember that God is the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, "Do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you worm Jacob. Little Israel, do not fear, for I myself will help you." He takes hold of our hand and gives us comfort, protection and guidance if we are willing to hold on to him and trust in him. And our trust in him is not misplaced. Even when situations seem hopeless, God can do amazing things. Verses 17 to 20 paint a beautiful picture of God bringing life and hope in desolate places. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. God can turn even the deserts into places full of life and wonder. If by God's hand entire deserts can bloom with life, how much more can he do in our lives if only we put our trust in him? The kingdom of God is established one person at a time, one relationship at a time, one coffee date at a time, one act of kindness and love, one conversation at a time. In hearing Jesus' call and commission afresh, just imagine what God can do through your life if you simply said yes. Are you willing to trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Do you dare to put your faith in God and allow him to work? Do you dare to see what God can do with your life if you give yourself fully over to him? What wonders could God do in your life if you put aside your pride, your anger, your fear, or whatever else may be blocking you from trusting in him? What would even just one next step in your journey be as both disciple and disciple maker?